Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Fly Girl Show. I am your host, Casey Grant, and today, in honor of Breast Cancer Month, I am pleased to have as my guest Patricia Johnson, who is a cancer survivor and author of her book, A Walking Miracle, which tells her story of her miraculous story of courage, faith, and determination. Hello, Patricia. How are you today?
I am doing great, Casey. I am doing really good.
Well, I tell you, I'm so pleased to have you on as my special guest for this month because this is a special month, this awareness, this cancer awareness on all different levels. I found out in my research that there were different colors for different cancers, and I thought that was quite interesting because I didn't know that. I've only really been aware of the pink ribbon.
Well, that's new to me, too. I really didn't know that until I learned it from my girlfriend, Sabrina, who told me about when her sister died, about the different colors she wear for her sister. So that was something new to me, too, because I'm just definitely with all the pink.
Exactly, exactly. Well, I have here, just for a little information for my listeners, lung cancer, the color ribbon, the awareness ribbon is pearl or white. Orange and navy blue, which I thought was really interesting, is human rights for family caregivers. So I think that's really nice that they honor the caregivers because that's just as important as the person for the person who's going through this struggle. And jade is for liver. And, of course, as we've said, pink awareness ribbon is for cancer. So, Patricia, I need to know. I met you at the airport. Oh, golly, now. How long have I known you? About 6 months, maybe more?
Yeah, maybe 6 months. I think it's been about 6 months, yes. Mm-hmm.
I tell you, and it was really a pleasure to meet you. I wasn't going to approach you because I was going to ask you about how long you had been flying since I was still doing some research for my book, which is, as you know, Stars in the Sky. And I'm glad I just went ahead with my intuition and walked over there and talked to you. And at that point, you introduced yourself and said this, and you told me about your book. And I immediately bought the book. And as soon as I got it, I opened that book, and I tell you, I read it in one sitting. It was so wonderful. I really enjoyed it. It's written very well, and the story is fabulous.
Well, if somebody would have told me 3.5 years ago that I would be writing a book, I would have said, no, that's nothing that I would never do because that's something I don't want to do. But when you are diagnosed with cancer and you know that you have a disease that is no cure, the first thing you think of is death. And that's what I thought. When they told me I had cancer, and they told me that I had cancer in my left breast, my spine, my left hip, and my lymph nodes, I knew right away that I was going to die.
Because you were diagnosed as stage 4, is that correct?
Right, exactly. Stage 4 cancer. But
Can you give us a little history before that? Tell us, what were your symptoms? Were you sick?
No symptoms at all. I always take my annual mammogram, always. I'm always good about that. And that's how they found my cancer. And I think if I wouldn't have took my mammogram, I wouldn't be here today. But a question I want to ask, did you know that every cancer does not need chemo or radiation?
No, I didn't know. I didn't know that because I think being a person that, like most women, we're always, you know, we go for our examination with a lot of anticipation. And, of course, we think that everything is doomed. You know, if they were to diagnose you, you just think that's the end of the world. But you're here as a miracle to tell us that that is not necessarily true. And also, I did not know the different types of treatments.
Right. Well, I'm one of those persons that did not have chemo or radiation. It has been 6 years that I have been cancer-free. And I am just doing great. I did have a lumpectomy. I did have 17 lymph nodes removed. I was only out of work for 2.5 months. I am a flight attendant for Delta Airlines.
Yes.
I've been flying for 42 years.
Oh,
and
okay.
I have not slowed down any at all. And if you see me today, if I wouldn't tell you that I had cancer, you wouldn't believe it.
Well,
okay.
I can tell my audience that, and hopefully they'll get that book and they'll see that gorgeous picture on the front of the book. And believe me, audience, that is how pretty she is in real life and how healthy she looks. So, yes, you are the walking miracle, and you are a testament to being very faithful. So tell me about, just give us a little walkthrough on the family, and what was your frame of mind? As you said, you just thought that was it. What gave you the feeling to know that that was not it?
Well, when I was in the doctor's office, and when he told me that in the beginning they only thought I was two-stage, but then once you have cancer, you have to go through a lot of tests, MRIs, PET scans, bone scans. And once I did all of that, they found out the cancer was in different places. And then that's when I was told that I would have to have chemo and radiation. And I panicked. I mean, I cried. I screamed. I mean, they had to get somebody in there with me because I just lost it, because I just knew that I was going to die. And my husband was there with me. And he was crying, too. He was crying just as hard as I was. But
well, that's very traumatic. I'm sure he was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But for some reason, a peace came over me. And I knew it was like God walked into that room and told me that I was going to be okay. And I thought about my granddaughter. I have a granddaughter. She's 8 right now. And I thought about her. And my thing was, I cannot leave my baby. Okay, because I have 2 grown sons, and this little girl, that's what makes my heart beat, is her. And I knew I just could not leave her, because me and her, there's a lot of things me and her had to do. And that's when I said that cancer is not the boss of me. I will win this. So,
and you have for 6 years. And so what is the treatment like? How debilitating is that? Even though you said you really didn't miss work, I'm sure that there were some rough days that kind of kept you from going or doing some of your regular activities.
Well, not, you know, I was out for those 2.5 months, and just because I had those 17 lymph nodes removed, so they had to make sure, you know, my arm was strong enough to use and everything. But I really was not in any pain. That was so surprising to me, you know?
Right.
And
encouraging my audience to hear this.
Oh, yeah. So I want them to know, when you hear the word cancer, it does not mean death. It does not mean that you're going to have a toe tag on you. I think my faith, okay, and my attitude, I think it had a lot to do with me healing, because a lot of people, when they hear the word cancer, they just give up. They don't fight. They think they're going to die, and they just completely forget, just give up. You can't do that when you have cancer. When you hear cancer, that means you got to put your boxing gloves on, and you
exactly.
got to fight. Okay? I had friends, family. Everybody was praying for me. You need that support group. Now, my friend Sabrina, we've been friends over 20-something years. And every time something happens to her, something happens to me. If something happens to me, it happens to her. Well, when Sabrina got diagnosed with cancer, okay, I was there for her. Then 3 years later, it was me with breast cancer. I think we had on the left side, both of us, on the left side, the left breast, you know. And
oh,
like
my.
I said, Sabrina, I love you and everything, but I don't have to have this cancer because you got it. Won't you win the lottery or something and then let me win the lottery, you know?
I know it. Well, yeah, you're going to have to try to talk to your girlfriend, Sabrina, and do this. But the good thing about it is, as you're saying, Sabrina is a survivor also.
Yes, Sabrina is a survivor. And the funny thing about Sabrina, when the first day for me to see my oncologist,
yeah.
She told me, she said, she lives in Atlanta and I live in Miami. She said, I'm coming to go with you with your oncologist. And I say, no, you don't have to do that. I say, my husband's going with me and my sister's going with me. She said, look, I'll be in Miami Airport at 2:00. You'll be there to pick me up. She said, Charles don't have no breath, okay? I'm coming. So
now,
I definitely had to be there to pick her up, okay? So that's how close me and her is.
That is what you call being truly connected. That's a true friend, as they say. You can count your true friends on your hand. I think she's number one.
Oh, yeah, definitely. She is.
Well, I tell you, I think I have someone that you might want to hear. I have another caller on. And hello there, caller. Will you please announce yourself?
Hi, Casey. Hi, Pat. This is Sabrina.
Hi, Sabrina.
How are you guys doing?
I'm great.
Well, I tell you, your ears should have been ringing because we were just talking about you. And one of the things Patricia was just saying is how close you are. And I would like the audience, not only after they've listened to what she has said, but your names. Now, her name is last name is Johnson. And your last name is Johnston?
Mm-hmm.
With a T, yes, yes.
Now, I tell you,
yeah,
you
so,
got it.
So it was meant to be in the same realm. It was meant to be, definitely.
Well, will you give us a little history about your journey with this cancer?
Sure.
Thank you so much.
I am a 9-year breast cancer survivor. October 24th was 9 years. Woo-hoo, yay.
I found my lump.
You know, one day I just came home after a trip. I'm a flight attendant as well. And just came home and just, you know, really wasn't doing my breast checks like I should be. So everybody out there, please do your breast checks and please get your mammograms done. And I just felt this kind of lump. And I just thought, well, it was probably nothing. It was in September, and normally I go for my regular checkup in October. I was like, oh, yeah, I'll just wait until then. And so I went in, and my doctor, she looked at me. She said, okay, tomorrow I'm going to set you up with the breast doctor because I don't like how this feels. And, you know, went there, and he took a biopsy, and about a week later his nurse called me and told me, and she was, I think she's been in the business for so long, I think she didn't intentionally mean to kind of trivialize it, but she goes, oh, yeah, it's positive, you know, breast cancer of the left breast. And I'm sitting in shock. I'm sitting on my bed on my computer and listening to this, and I just thought, okay, I don't know what to do. I was scared out of my wits. So after going to the doctor, and I told my sisters. I didn't want to tell my mom at the time. I didn't want to, like, worry her. So we told her a little later. But after going to the doctor, they were like, okay, you know, you got to get chemo. You got to do this. And I sat there and looked at them. I've always been one who, Pat and I have always been one who ate healthy, exercised, everything. And I told the doctor I didn't want to take chemo. I said, I just don't want to do this. I don't want to do this to my body. And, of course, my family's looking at me like, well, you know, you got to do something because you need to be around for a while. So I had to succumb to them. I was like, okay, you guys, I'll do this. But everybody's journey and everybody's treatment is different. My treatment, I had chemo for the first 3 months. Then I had surgery. I had to have a mastectomy. And that's a whole other story about going through that. But I had chemo for 3 months, and I had surgery, waited about 3 months for everything to heal. Then I had 4 more months of chemotherapy. So it was maybe about a year, not quite a year, but about a year. But I tell you, Casey and Pat can attest to this, I was just sitting in church one day, and I don't know what it was, and the sermon was, how do you know, how many of you know that God's got your back? And I just raised my hand. It was just like Pat said, it's this peace that just came over me, and I knew I was going to be fine. I just knew it. And granted, you know, as women, you know, I wanted to lose a few pounds before my diagnosis. Didn't want to do it that way. But, you know, people would say, oh, you're going to get sick. You're going to lose weight. But it's okay. I mean, I'll tell you, God has a sense of humor. I did not lose a pound. I gained 30 pounds. Lord.
Oh,
I was like, oh, my God. So,
you gained 30 pounds.
And I think it was part of the treatment. And I tell you, Pat came up after my surgery. And after my chemo, I would go right down the street to Houston's, and I would just eat a steak and a baked potato. I mean, it was just, everybody's like, okay, you're not losing weight. I'm like, no, I feel fine. Let's go. Come on.
You usually don't have an appetite. You had an appetite.
Right, I did. But everybody's treatment and journey is different. And I will tell you, when people ask, you know, you must have had family history. So many women think that you have to have a family history. I think probably 75 to 80% of women who are diagnosed with breast cancer for the first time have no family history. And that's why I would just implore every woman to definitely get your mammograms. And I tell you, I was diagnosed at 42. That was my first, that was my second mammogram. So, I mean, I was just, you know, like, okay, why is this happening to me? I'm like, I'm too young and, you know. So, but because of all that, you know, I was fine and everything and just decided to do like a week at my church for breast cancer awareness, got the info and the pamphlets. And I had my cousin come in who's a surgeon, and I'm part of a support group, and I didn't realize he had done surgery on probably about a third of the women in the group. And he came and spoke and gave information and everything, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful, informative outing. It really was. So, and, you know, you were talking about the different colors of cancer. My youngest sister passed last year of colon and kidney cancer, and colon and liver cancer. Colon cancer is blue, and as you said, liver is like a jade. So I still wear, you know, after I get my pedicures, I get my little green bow on one and blue bow on the other, on my other toes, just, you know, for my sister. But, of course, this month, of course, on my fingers, I have, like, the pink breast cancer ribbon. But, you know, it's been a journey, like you said. And I will tell you, Pat's book, The Walking Miracle, is absolutely wonderful. And her walk, you know, raising money for breast cancer research, it is just really, really, really so special and so important. As our friend Alice, who does her walk.
And, you know, that's who I was going to ask you. I was going to ask about Alice. But one thing before we get to Alice, I wanted to say, both of you guys, you ladies, your testimony is so encouraging for those that will be listening to this program to realize that you do. Well, you must have faith, and, you know, you have to stay focused, and you can't shy away from the different type of treatments. And it is about your family support, and never give up. And that's what I've gotten from both of you that I think is encouraging, and I hope that the audience will find that encouragement should they have to walk that journey of being diagnosed with cancer. But to realize it is not over, as we all know, it is not over until the man above says it's over, number one. I don't care what man diagnoses you with, it is not over until the man above tells you it's over.
Exactly.
Exactly. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, you two are really both walking miracles. And so, now what I don't understand, and maybe maybe the audience doesn't either, but I'll ask that question. Tell me the difference. Radiation is administered through a machine, and chemo is medication you take. How are these two different treatments administered?
Well,
Patricia,
Sabrina,
you want
to answer? Well, I'll let Sabrina do that because she got the chemo.
Okay.
Well,
okay, so,
yeah, I had chemo, but just like Pat, I didn't have to have radiation, thank goodness. Chemotherapy can be given in the form of a pill or intravenously. I got mine intravenously. I have, you know, friends who have had radiation. From what I understand, from what they tell me, it's administered by a machine, and it's the people who are administering it, you know, literally have to, like, I think, go out of the room and apply it to this one particular area of the body, wherever the cancer is, from what I understand. And I'm not a medical professional at all, but
exactly.
That's what I understand from them telling me how it was for them.
And
so
it burns, too. It burns the skin. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we think of people becoming, we all think that you're going to lose your hair, you're going to become nauseated. It's the chemotherapy. If the chemo is the one that really, is that the truth, or are both of them can make you nauseated and sick and lose your appetite, those type of things? Is it just both treatments that's mostly known for, or is it just one more than the other?
From what I understand, the chemo, as I said, it did not, this is Sabrina speaking, it did not happen to me, thank God, that you get sick, and I didn't get sick, as I said before, but from what I understand, the radiation makes you very tired, because it generally, my friends have had to go through radiation for 6 weeks, and it's Monday through Friday for 6 weeks, and by the time they leave there, they are drained. They are just drained. And by the time they get their energy back up over the weekend, it starts over again. And same thing kind of with chemotherapy, if you if you're sick, or if it, you know, really weakens you. Now, I didn't get sick, but I lost my hair. I was bald as a chicken. I was. So, but I promise you, your hair grows back. I have so much hair on my head now. Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. And I tell you now, when I have a bad hair day, I do not say anything about my hair negatively, because I'm so glad to have it back.
I'm telling you, and they say it comes back a different texture, softer. Is that true? Did yours come back a different texture?
Mine came back, actually, you know, and that's why it's like God just takes me around in a circle 360. I was trying to go natural anyway about 7 years before my diagnosis. So, you know, I do this and do that, and my hairdresser, she said, you know, I think if you went natural, I don't think it'll be as kinky as you think it'll be. And I'm like, oh, no. Well, when I lost my hair and it started growing back, yeah, it came back really soft, but the longer it gets, the more natural it gets. So I still have it natural now after 9 years. And my hairdresser looked at my hair, put her fingers in my head and everything. She said, no, this is how your hair was before. So she said that it's the same, you know, wave pattern, curl pattern that I had before, but it does grow back, and I just decided that I wasn't going to try to do any more chemicals and stuff. Every now and then, and I may put some blonde in it or some, you know, a little color in it. But mine came back about the same, but I know many people's comes back kind of a different texture.
Now, let's get back to Alice, because Alice, I tell you, is someone that I was hoping that was going to be able to be on the show, but we weren't blessed to be able to have her because she has to work.
Right.
But was instrumental, and tell my audience, give me the history on Alice and what Alice has done. Now, she worked for Delta, and then, Patricia, I'll let you finish.
Well, Alice and Sabrina was going through chemo. Well, did Alice get chemo, Sabrina?
Yes, she did.
Okay.
Yeah.
They were going through chemo around the same time. They had cancer around the same time. So Alice is a fighter, too. So Alice probably it's been 10 years that she's been cancer-free. And since October, I guess, 10 years ago, Sabrina, how long we've been wearing a pink dress?
Yeah.
Alice went to the job and asked them, because we wear a pink dress in October. So we do. And Delta let us collect money from the passengers for breast cancer research. And just on my last trip, in 2 days, I collected $3,500. Because
now, is that a 43 trip?
In
is
2 days.
For one flight?
Huh?
Is that $3,500, is that for 1 month, one trip?
That was one
how?
Trip. That was one trip, 2 days on a trip. I raised that much because I told my story. I told them that I was a four-stage breast cancer survivor. I've been cancer-free for 6 years, and Delta allows us to collect money for breast cancer research. And I feel like because of the research, that's why I'm still alive and that they have done so much that I didn't have to have. They found out with my cancer, I didn't have to have chemo or radiation. And here I am, and I said, if I could get $200 on this flight going to Vegas, the captain on the ground, he would wear my pink and black frilly apron. And, boy, they thought that was the funniest thing. I made $819 that one leg. And the captain put on that apron, and the passengers just loved it, okay? So I made that trip. I made $3,500 in 2 days. All for breast cancer research. You know, and I think
that's
the only airline that does that, that let us.
I applaud you, and I applaud Delta for, I don't know how many other airlines were so receptive to this cause, and we're saying over 10 years ago, I remember flying. I had just retired, and I had heard about, and for the audience, pink is not one of our colors, blue. And I think we have the white blouse and the red trim, but definitely a pink dress was not an option. And from what I remember, Alice, and you can clarify the story, Alice approached Delta, the president, had a one-on-one meeting with the, I believe, the president. And I guess, you know, in support of the cancer awareness, it's gone from the flight attendants wearing pink dresses to the pilots with the pink ties, the male flight attendants also have the pink ties. And I think it's just really wonderful that you are able, that Delta allows you, and of course you have to abide by all the FAA regulations and make the PAs in the most professional way, but it's nice that they give you the opportunity for you in particular, Patricia, and I don't know, Sabrina, if you've done it and you can tell me your story, but for Delta to allow you to tell your story. And I think that we all, when we rally together, miracles happen and we make progress, which is what you have just said, that because of progress, it was easier to diagnose that you did not have to take a certain, which had been just the routine procedure. Give everybody the same. Everyone gets the same type of treatment. And with progress, as we can see, now we can fine-tune that a little bit better.
Right, exactly. And
absolutely. And I do wear the pink as well. I do mostly international flights, and we've just started taking donations. But they've been coming. It's been getting better with the international flights donations as well. Mm-hmm.
And Delta does have two pink airplanes. They have a 76 pink airplane and a 75 pink airplane. And just September 30th, they took 145 breast cancer survivors to New York and set us up at the Wyndham Hotel. I was one of those passengers, and we had dinner, and one of the scientists that's working to find a cure for breast cancer was there to speak to us and let us know what they were doing and for us to ask questions. And, two, they took us to Good Morning America the next day. So they just really make us feel, you know, good about ourselves, you know.
Mm-hmm. Were you at the show or did they acknowledge you?
We were at the show. Now, everybody didn't go inside the show, but we were there outside. Some was inside, some was outside. I was one of the ones on the outside. They let the ones inside, the ones who were still, you know, doing chemo and kind of weak and in wheelchairs and stuff, they went inside. but we, the stronger ones, was outside looking in, you know. So it was just really, really nice. It was really nice.
Oh, my. Now, as of today, or do you know, Alice alone is instrumental in raising how much? And what is Alice's last name?
Ramsey.
Mm-hmm. Alice Ramsey, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so she is, do you know what dollar figure she is responsible for?
What, making on the
for?
Airplane or at her own walk?
Now that I don't know, so that's what you have to explain to me. I know that what I was told, I think, and you told me earlier, with her going in and asking permission to do this awareness, different avenues of awareness, she raised so much the first year, or do we just say for that whole month, at the end of the month, they give you a tally as to how much is raised? Is that how that is?
Well, I don't think, how much she made? I don't think they even separate how much each person made. But I know last year we all together with all the flight attendants was doing, we made $8 million to give to breast cancer research. Okay.
In 1 month, the Delta flight attendants?
Yes. Maybe a couple of years, but all together, I know that's how much we made. I know it was $8 million.
Oh, my
for research.
Goodness.
And,
that's fabulous.
And Alice has her own walk that she has every year that has gotten so huge that she has it on her at her house. And she have a lot of property, and she had so many people there. I think Alice said, Sabrina was there. How many people you think was there? 400, 500
Oh,
people?
God, I don't know. Her organization is called the Pink Posse, and I can't remember how many people were there, but this year alone she raised over $60,000 at her house for her walk.
Oh, my. Now, you say raise. Is that the pledges that people, each individual, is it like the regular cancer walk where you pledge you pledge so much, you're going to make so much, and then at that point you're responsible for bringing that amount of money in? Is that how you're saying when people raise that amount of money, that's what they did?
No, this is Alice's, this is how she does her Pink Posse. She goes around to, she lives in south of Atlanta. She goes around to vendors, and everybody knows she has walks, and they donate items that people bid for at her walk. You still have a walk, but they donate items that people, you buy tickets and you bid for them, and you win items, and very nice items too, some of them really nice. And what she does is the money that she gets from that, her thing is she wants to, because she's been so blessed, she gets the money from that, from people purchasing or donating items. She uses that money to help breast cancer, people who are battling breast cancer, to help them pay for their utility bills when they're out and can't work or on disability. That's what she does it for, you know, to actually help survivors, people who are battling cancer, to help pay utility bills. I have a couple of friends, as a matter of fact, I've actually turned on to her Pink Posse website and talked to her about it, and they are just so thankful that, you know, their lights could have been cut off because, you know, they couldn't work, they're on disability, and it's not enough to pay everything. And that's what her Pink Posse donations go for.
Now, off the top of your head, do you know her website? Can you give it to the audience, please?
Mm. Oh, my gosh. I don't know if it's pinkposse.com.
Okay.
P-I-N-K. Let me see. Pinkposse. www.pinkposse.com.
Okay, and with her name and with that, my listeners, you should be able to, should you want to, be aware of it's in October, but just to read up on it and maybe contribute, because do they take contributions all year?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sure,
okay, and
do.
Does she have activities all year?
You know, I'm not sure. I don't know. Do you know, Pat?
No, I'm not sure. we just be waiting on October to go to the walk at her house.
Yeah, but okay. You know what? Her walk is actually in September. It's usually at the end of September because there's so much going on in October. She just wants to kind of get the walk in and do it and get everything set and everything. So it's usually like the last Saturday or so in September.
And she still is a Delta flight attendant.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. I think that
she's a sweetheart. Alice is a sweetheart. Everybody just loves her. Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I've heard wonderful things about her, and I was really looking forward to meeting her and have her on the show because I wanted to commend her for this. I just think we just never know. We have so many wonderful talents. I mean, flight attendants are just not flight attendants, and a survivor is not just a survivor because when you've walked that walk, which is what I'm gathering from you ladies, you really realize the struggle, and then you reach out to others to say it's going to be okay. And
exactly.
You just have to have the faith and the strength to keep moving forward because mm-hmm. you will make it through. But you have to be faithful and diligent with your treatments. Am I right?
Correct.
Absolutely, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that is a wonderful thing for Alice to be able to think beyond the things that people go through and have to worry about. I mean, it's one thing to worry about the what if, you know, what if I don't. And if you have a family, I'm sure that's the most terrifying thing to most women is worrying about how their family will survive without them, should that be their fate. But right. I think how nice it is for Alice to be able to relieve that worry for so many. And so do you just submit a letter, an application, and it's reviewed? I know Alice doesn't do the reviewing by herself. She has to have
someone to help her,
I hope.
Yeah, she has staff. And you can go to the website and you can find the form. If not, you can email them, contact them some way, and they can get the form to you and explain to you the process.
Perfect. I think that is just, bless her heart, which you guys have been blessed for that. So just give us a little insight on what some of the things that you do. Now, Patricia, you walked, was it Alice's walk that when I talked to you that day you were preparing for a walk? That was Alice's walk?
No, I started my own walk. This last Saturday was my second annual walk that I did. I had at my church. And it was very, very good. It was a success. Everybody had a good time. I've been asked by the pastor and a lot of people that I have to do it again next year. So.
And what is your church name?
Trinity Church in Miami.
In Miami, Florida.
Right, Trinity Church. And
okay.
I started my own cancer group, too. It's called Tenaciously Pink. And you could go to my website, and it's tenaciouslypink.com.
Okay. And the type of things that you do, would you like to tell us that? What type of things?
I'm still in the making. I'm like following after Alice. I want to do what she's doing. I want to be able to have, I could be able to help the little people. Because, you know, the big cancer people, if you call and say, I'm out with chemo and can you help me? They're not going to help you. So they're busy trying to find the research. I want to be where I could help somebody. I could buy them some grocery. I could take them to chemo. I could pay their light bill or their water bill. That's what I'm working toward for my cancer group to be.
Yeah, that's important. And I would just, and that's another question I was going to ask you, ladies. What type of support? I know you got the love from your family and the prayers from family and friends, but did you join a support group?
I didn't. I haven't been in a group. Mainly it was my church that was with me. So I started my own group. They asked me to start my own group at church.
Okay, so that was your support group. Your church was your foundation.
Right, exactly.
What about you, Sabrina? I mean, yes, Sabrina.
I did join. When I was diagnosed, a couple of flight attendants found out and reached out to flight attendants that they knew that had just gone through chemo and everything, and they contacted me, and on the phone I didn't know who they were. You know people's faces and not their names. So they invited me to a support group that was not far from my home, and I went to the support group. Before I went to the support group that morning, I was in my oncologist's office, sat across from a lady who I had been talking with. They put me and her together, these other flight attendants. So it was like a four of us, and the new lady and I were coming to the support group for the first time. We sat there in the office across from each other and didn't know each other, and just, hello, how are you, hello, how are you, had the same oncologist. When I go to the support group that night, okay, guess who shows up? The same lady who was sitting there across from me. I'm like, oh, my God. That support group has been such a wonderful thing to me, because there are women there who have, one woman at least is like a 32-year cancer survivor, and it is just so inspiring. And we constantly do things around the city for breast cancer support, whether it's walks or whether it's teas and giving information about things, or whether it's people who just need just to talk to somebody, you know, just who've been recently diagnosed and who are just falling apart, just can't hold it together. And, you know, and we also encourage each other within the support group as well. And it's in a church that allows us to do it, have our meetings there once a month. And it's just, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. It really is.
Well, we all
need
that.
Those ladies.
Yeah, we all need that support. You know, whether you're starting a new job and, you know, someone befriends you and tells you to hold their hand, they're going to help you make it through. It's very hard to do anything unknown territory, to do things by yourself. And it does give you the strength to be able to make it and give you hope. And I think that definitely you ladies will be in a support group forever. I don't think that you ever get past point that I'm fine, you take care of yourself. I don't think that's your spirit anymore.
Oh, no. No. Mm-mm. No. Look, Pat and I are support groups amongst each other, actually.
So you guys have your own support group between the two of you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Well, I know, Pat, when you had just had a little bout with an illness, and that was not because of your cancer, but because you had kind of gotten off the path of being diligent, right, Patricia?
Yes, I was a bad girl.
You were a bad girl, I tell you. But because you had such a caring doctor, I thought it was a funny story when the doctor spoke to you as a real human being and not a patient and said, basically, are you nuts?
Yeah.
How do you think you can get off of your regimen without consequences?
Exactly. I won't do that again.
I tell you. So tell me about
this.
I'm sorry.
Casey, let me just interject there. Pat, I'm not sure what Casey's talking about, but we'll talk about this when we get off the air, okay?
Cool.
I don't know about that.
Uh-oh, I think I told.
You just blasted her, Casey,
right along. Let me have some more information on your book, Patricia, and what inspired, well, we know what your inspiration was, but how did you have the courage to sit down and really write and tell the rest of the world about your journey?
Well, it started one day I was in the kitchen getting ready to cook. And if any of you all believe in the Holy Spirit, it spoke to me and it told me, you need to write a book. You need to tell everybody what God has done for you. And I'm like, I ain't doing that. I'm not going to write a book. And I pushed it out of my mind and kept doing what I do. It came back the following month, even stronger. You have to write a book and let people know what God has done for you. And I'm like, I don't know how to write a book. I don't even know where to start. Well, I went to bed that night. 2 o'clock in the morning, the Holy Spirit woke me up, said, take the word family, take each letter and make a word. F, family, friends, faith. A, attitude. M, motivation. I, inspiration. L, love. Y, yield. All of this was coming to me, and I'm like, where is this coming from? And when I thought about it, I say, oh, my God, these are the chapters of my book. I have no excuse not to write a book because I said I didn't know what to do. I have been started on this book, and that's how I got started. And I explained that whole thing in my book about how I got started, and things helped me to be here today, my friends, my family, my faith, my attitude, my inspiration, all of that.
Well, I tell you, we do know, if you believe, if you have the faith, we know that God will put everything you need in front of you if you just have the faith and believe. You look up, you open your eyes up, and you go, oh, my goodness, this is everything I needed. And when that Spirit got a hold of you, and I love your chapter, The Walking Miracle, and how did you come up with that title? I know your chapters. I think that was wonderful. A Walking Miracle.
Well, when I had finished writing everything I could write and I needed somebody to help me put the book together, I met this lady. And I sat down and talked to her about my book, and I had a different title. And she looked at me and she said, oh, no, this book has to be called A Walking Miracle. And I wanted a horse, a white stallion, on my book. She said, I don't know where that stallion going, but you have to put a picture on the front of your book. People have to see you.
And so, it is a gorgeous picture. I love it. I love the color. I love the cover of your book. And how can everybody, and how do my listeners find your book? Where can they buy your book?
Okay, you could go to Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And it's A Walking Miracle by Patricia Johnson.
And it is an account of this miraculous journey. And as you say on the front of your cover, a stage 4 breast cancer survivor's story of courage, faith, and determination. And as I say, when I read the book, I couldn't stop reading. And I thought it was very well done. And Sabrina and I both have given you the thumbs up. Our vote is yes, it's a good read for people. And also for the audience, that they will be able to go on my website, which is Casey@theflygirl10.com. And they're going to be able to click on that and be able to order the book. So there'll be two different ways of being able to get the book, which I think is really an inspiration for anyone who is going through a troubling time of being diagnosed with it or recovering from it. Now, you were telling me about a friend of yours who's written a book, which I think is a very, very good inspiration for the children of women. And you said the name of your friend. Can you give us some information on your friend's book and tell me a little bit about that book?
Her book, when me and her spoke, she said the same thing happened to her. One night
and
the Holy Spirit woke
name
up.
First?
Mommy is Still the Same with Cancer. It's a book for children. And Andrea, her cancer came back. And she's doing fine, but she's still doing chemo.
So this is something that she'll have to do forever to maintain, if they're, like, trying to contain it, then I suppose.
Right. I think she has to take it for a while.
Okay. And once again, the name of it is Mommy is Still the Same with Cancer?
With Cancer. Mommy is Still the Same with Cancer. And her name is Andrea. I do not know Andrea's name. Brett off. I can't think of it.
Of her last name. Okay. I would try to get that information, too, for those that are listening. They can also contact me on my website, and I will try to get that information for you, for those that may be interested. And Sabrina, my dear, are you still with us?
I am here.
What are you doing now? What do you do? You fly. Are you involved in your church also?
Yes, I am involved in my church. of course, we have just done a cancer walk down at Centennial Park. But as I said before, I'm very involved in the support group that I'm with. And as I said, we go out to different places, and any functions that are supporting breast cancer, we help support that. Sometimes we actually will have people come in and speak to us about new developments in breast cancer research, or we will have a forum sometimes where we will have people come out who have been recently diagnosed with breast cancer and have people speak with them about information about breast cancer treatments, supports, and things like that. And also, I still have friends who will call anybody who's been recently diagnosed with breast cancer. I just tell them, just call me. It doesn't matter what time of day or night. If you've got a question, if you want to ask me anything about what my journey was and my treatment was, or if you just want to talk and just, you know, get something off of your chest, if I can't answer your question, I'll find somebody who can, be it counselor, medical person, oncology, or something like that. So
and
just trying to, as Pat said, kind of like the grassroots level of dealing with all of this.
Well, this is a quick question. We have about 5 more minutes to go, but this is a quick question for either one of you to answer. But when you have these support groups, how many men are in your group? And how are men, how are men diagnosed? Because they don't take mammograms, right?
Mm-mm. No, they don't. Mm-mm.
Well, I have one friend that had a double mastectomy, a man, and his girlfriend found his lump in his breast, and she made sure he went to the doctor. So you can get lumps. They could get lumps and stuff too. But, you know, the human body is really great. Like with me, I didn't have any lumps in my breast. They found mine from the mammogram. And it is a cancer that's called inflammatory cancer. Well, a mammogram cannot pick that up. So what you have to do, ladies, men, you have to listen to your body. Your body will tell you when something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't try to diagnose yourself and say, oh, it's nothing. You know, your body will tell you something is not wrong. And ladies, when it comes to checking your breast every month, be sure to check up under your armpit, because that's what a doctor found my lump up under my arm. I couldn't feel it, but they knew how to go up under there and feel it. So not just your breast, go up under your arms and check your arms. And when you have finished taking your bath, look in the mirror, look at your breast, because your nipple could go in, you could get a rash. Your body's going to tell you something wrong. You just have to listen to it. That is very important.
I think that's very good, Pat. I'm glad you gave it, so we'll say the checklist, the final checklist on some things to be aware of, because the under the armpit, I didn't know that one either. I do my exams. I tried to be diligent about doing it, but I think that once we talk to people, survivors, I think that we all will really become more aware of how important it is to be conscious and do this on a routine. And I think that for the men that will be listening to the show, I think that's a very good some input to know that, yes, you can also get breast cancer and to be aware of it. And if you find any signs or if you see anything different about your body, as we all, for any ailment, go to the doctor. That's why these men and women have gone to school and have learned all these different things for us to take advantage of. So it's a crazy thing for people not to go. Nope, you know, don't let your fear stand in the way, because it could be the line between living and dying your life, a fulfilled life. So with that, my dear, I think That is a wonderful, wonderful. I've enjoyed the show. I enjoyed learning all the different things that you ladies have enlightened my audience with. You two are lovely ladies, and I'm so glad to see you are both walking miracles.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yep. Walking tall with faith, tenacity, and vision.
And you just keep walking that walk and take care of yourself. And thank you once again for being on the show. And with that, my audience, I'm going to close, and I would like to say thank you so much, you ladies, Andrea and Patricia, for being on my show.
Sabrina.
I'm sorry?
Sabrina.
I am so sorry to call you all these
That's
names.
Okay.
Sabrina and Patricia. And
thank you for having us.
Thank you. So for my audience, I'd like to say this does close my show for today. I hope that you will join me next week at 11 o'clock Central Time on the Fly Girl Show, where I hope to have another exciting guest. At the end of the show, I hope that you have learned something new and met someone interesting. And please have your family and your friends call in. My number for the call-in show is 347-857-3609. And I hope that you will have a wonderful week, and please remember that your blessings are as numerous as the stars in the sky. Once again, my name is Casey Grant, and I am your host to the Fly Girl Show, and I look forward to seeing you next Wednesday, Central Time, 11 o'clock Central Standard Time. Have a pleasant week, and I will see you next week. Thank you very much.